All right, we got lots to get to. We'll have our TSN $1,200,000 minute. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today of all days, coming off a dispiriting loss last night at home to Vancouver. Maybe today's the day somebody wins $1,000. We'll do that before 8 o'clock. We will have a chance for you to win a $100 Holt Spa gift certificate to gift to someone, maybe even yourself. We'll have that to give away before the end of the show. We will also have our TSN hockey insider, Mike Johnson, will join us in 1 hour from now. Not sure where Mike is. Maybe he's in Carolina. Anyway, we'll talk to him, get his thoughts on the state of the Sens right now. And then after 9 o'clock, James Boyd, general manager of the 67s and also the general manager of Canada's World Junior team, will join us. Yesterday, they announced the 35-man roster for the selection camp, which will begin next week. In fact, a week from today. Not a lot of huge surprises in terms of who's on it, but maybe a couple of interesting names left off it, including the Nepean's Brant Clark was not included on the list. So James Boyd will be by to talk about his and the management's decision about who's invited. And I look forward to the World Juniors, of course, which starts, a little over 3 weeks from now. In Edmonton, Alberta. So we got lots to get to. A reminder, today being Thursday, of course, it's the kickoff to the new NFL week, so make sure you get your picks in on our website, our NFL Pick'em Pool. Right at the top of the website, click on the banner. It's free to enter. It's a new game every week. And we've got a $100 gift card to Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar for our best picker of the week. Pretty good game tonight. Pretty interesting game. Dallas at New Orleans. Cowboys have lost 3 of 4. Saints have lost 3 in a row. Cowboys have been hit hard, especially in the coaching staff, by COVID. Amari Cooper is just back, and he apparently isn't 100% from COVID. Mm-hmm. And then the Saints, of course, Alvin Kamara is back, but he's nursing a knee injury, which kept him out of 3. And Taysom Hill gets his first start at quarterback this season. So we'll see what he can bring to the table. So that's your Thursday night NFL game. Get your picks in at TSN1200.ca.
Yeah, very interesting. And also from the World Junior perspective, JR, having gone through that process, boy, for the young athletes, to see your name on that list is an incredible feeling. And for a guy like Brant Clark, you know, again, some guys you have a bit of a feel, sometimes you don't, whether or not you're going to end up going. And that can be real tough in how you end up handling that. So very curious to hear what James Boyd has to say, and also excited for the World Junior to see. And I looked up the stats yesterday, the old Fab Four, whatever you want to call them, from Michigan, are all off to a real nice start. So we'll see a cross-section of those fellas at the World Junior, along with draft picks from the Sens, along with obviously what will be some of the higher picks for this year's draft.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Ridley Gregg was invited, and Bob McKenzie's already said he's a lock for Team Canada, the Sens first rounder a couple of years ago. Jake Sanderson is a lock most certainly for Team USA. Yeah. A lot of thought that he actually could be the captain of that team. Yeah. Tyler Cleven, he played last year. No reason to think he won't be on the team. So from a Sens perspective, there are three frontline players, well, two in particular, in Gregg and Sanderson for sure, who will be frontline players for Canada and the United States. So some interest level, certainly. And when you talk about the first picks, Owen Power, first pick in this past year's draft, was, added to the Canadian list. Shane Wright, who will in all likelihood be the first pick overall, was added to the list. I just cleared my throat there. And might right makes right, or whatever the saying is, fight for right.
Wrong is right.
Wrong is right. And then Connor Bedard, who could be the first overall pick in 2023, is also
There's no way the Sens will be picking in the top 10 by then.
Are you mocking me right now?
No, I'm not.
You can mock me.
No, but I you legitimately have to look at this, and I enjoy the World Junior, but this is one of those years to get to know last year's picks, to get to know this year, and from a Sens perspective, it's always fun. They've had a lot of good players come through the World Junior the last 5 or 6 years.
All right, so that's kind of the positive news, looking forward to the World Juniors, but we got to deal with the here and now for now, and as we spent a lot of time in the first hour, it's not really a debate. We don't know where rock bottom is for the Ottawa Senators, because you don't know where rock bottom is until you start coming out the other side. Yeah. And I can't sit here in all good faith this morning, good listener, and tell you at 7:16 on this Thursday morning that the Ottawa Senators couldn't go out tonight and get absolutely waxed by the Carolina Hurricanes. I would hope not. But I can't say that. Carolina's a really good team, and Ottawa just look like a dispirited bunch, and that's sad. I mean, Sen superfan, went to the game last night with her boyfriend, came home. I said, I didn't have to ask her how the game went. She just laughed.
Yeah.
That's the state. And you're talking about a diehard fan who went out and bought her own with her own money, Kachuk jersey, to wear to the games. And she came home last night and she just kind of laughed. And laughed in a just a sad kind of way.
Yeah, and hey, Brady Kachuk, you would never doubt for a second, JR, how much he cares, how much he brings to the rink. But since the out-of-the-blue announcement on November 5th, there's not been a great time for the Ottawa Senators. So this is part of my theory on captains in Canada. I'm not saying that this is affecting him one way or another, but it's sure not helping. I mean, you as a captain and you care and you want to lead, you want to do well, and you're in a spot like this, it ends up being very tough. And as far as what my expectations are for tonight, well, I think they're going to get absolutely schooled in Carolina. And I only say that, Jer, is that I'm looking to this now of post-COVID, post-reset. You just come off a West Coast trip, and sometimes the schedule bites you. But there are certain nights where you're like, are you kidding me? I'm back on the plane tonight and going down to Carolina. I don't think it'll be pretty tonight. Saturday will be fun against Colorado because I think that's a good team. I think it's always fun. The crowd will be decent. I expect them to be decent then. And then it's just, hey, the whole thing would be, how do you regroup out of this in the next month? Like, I don't expect to show up based on lineup, based on everything that's going on with the club right now. And as you said, the energy level not being high, this isn't a one-game reset, right? You know, where certain teams are struggling. And you'll say to coaches, even when you're having a winning streak once in a while, they're like, wow, we haven't been playing that well. I kind of want a blowout here so I can reset. I don't feel that with this hockey club. They're not a game or a day away from all of a sudden being competitive again. This is going to be a process here to figure out in many levels how you're going to right the ship. And I'm pointing more to the new year to hope that they're back to some respectability. And I'd be shocked if it happened tonight.
All right, let's quickly review last night's debacle at the Canadian Tire Center. And if there was an exclamation point on how bad it was, it came late in the second period with the Sens down 2-1.
Quick shot, scores! Little chip shot up and over the shoulder of Gustafson, and it's a 3-1 lead. Luke Shen comes in and literally just pops it over the shoulder.
Yeah, so that was a 4-on-4. Last minute, the coaches talk about the importance of the first couple of minutes and the last couple of minutes of every period, complete defensive breakdown. There's a pass across the ice to Luke Shen, of all guys, who you have compared to a modern-day Bobby Orr, and maybe
even more of a modern-day Dion Phaneuf, because I think he's wearing Dion's pants.
Yeah, but he takes the pass, gets around Formanton.
Oh, my God.
And then goes top corner. I don't know. I haven't looked back on the. I'm trying to watch the replays as little as possible. Quite frankly,
He's not been to the other team's net since he played for the Leafs.
Who was the defender that was supposed to be hopefully on that side of the ice? They're probably going man to man, but like, how is it possible that continuously in the Ottawa end of the ice, guys are all by themselves? It's offensive zone faceoffs, and essentially guys are getting what amounts to a breakaway. How is that even possible? Honestly. How is that possible for a guy with cement hands like Luke Shen? How is that possible that he is essentially going in on a breakaway on an offensive zone faceoff in the last minute of a period? How is that even possible?
Well, that was a set piece, Jared.
Honestly,
here's the other part too. How many times, and Dave Poulin is also mentioning, how many times has this happened to Alex Formanton, Jer? A lot, right? I mean, there's just way too many times where he's lost. And I know Luke
Shen spent time talking about him yesterday. Yeah, and time for him to spend some time in the minors. It's not all on him, but he's not performing well.
No, it's not even just all on him. The development has gone sideways, and his inability to detect, and Shen's a big guy. Once you get a shoulder, he gets a shoulder on you, you're in some trouble. But for the foot speed that Formanton has, it quite simply can't happen if you're angling him properly. And that's where he is at now. And also, I'll say this, if I'm Alex Formanton, you're a great skater. If my team is not going to forecheck and I'm going to stand in the neutral zone around, then you're wasting what I would bring to the table, which is actually a forecheck.
Yeah.
And whoever came up, if you want to talk about what would scare you from an effort standpoint, the standing in the neutral zone with no angling, not really any. It's more like, hey, we're just going to stand here as five guys. And like I said, we'll meet you back in our end in a minute. And then we can really let the fun begin. But it, no, it's bad, though. Like, a neutral zone's a big part of hockey, JR, but there has to be a plan to it. It looks more like you're playing bumper pool where the send players are the bumpers and you get around them and go into the defensive zone. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm watching that and thinking, like, this is you're trying to play Jacques Lemaire hockey without the ability to hook and hold, without your goaltender be able to play the puck on the dump in. That's all it is.
You make a great point. A player like Alex Formanton, and again, the reason he popped to me when he was an 18-year-old the first time we saw him, he has tremendous speed.
Absolutely.
And he does have a little sandpaper to his game, although we're not seeing it as much this year. But part of the reason that it first kind of clicked on that was his ability to get in on the forecheck and lay the body and turn some pucks over where guys were looking in the glass over their shoulder going, is this guy going to come in and nail me? And that's not even part of the equation because he's not essentially allowed to, because they're playing this passive system and allowing teams to skate out of their own zone right up the middle of the ice. And as you said, we'll meet in our end and then the chaos will ensue.
Yeah. And again, going back 10 years of watching the Sens, every coach that has come in has said they want to play aggressive. We want to be in your face. We want to play 200-foot hockey. Personnel has not been there. I did think they were trending towards that, JR, but you've had a sway in the lineup here. And now you were into fallback mode. And when fallback mode in the neutral zone, and I honestly have no idea, but then into your own zone where it just turns into mass chaos and ultimately just collapsing. And that's what Vancouver, and that's what you're going to see against Carolina and now Colorado, is the ability to use the tops of the circles is basically wide open, right? Now we're going to get you running around, going to get you spinning, and then, hey, it's just going to end up leading to trouble. But like I say, that's the state of Ottawa right now.
All right, so been saying for a while that the coach has been kind of left to his own. We haven't heard from management at all at this point. The coach is kind of twisting. He's got no answers, but he does make himself available before every game with Gord Wilson and after every game as well. The questions, well, are somewhat the same. The answers are somewhat the same. But here is the question put to him, to DJ Smith: do you feel like your message is still getting through?
Well, I think we play hard most nights. Tonight I thought we played really hard until it got bad, and then we got really frustrated. So as a coach, all you can do is push the guys to go harder tomorrow. We're going in against one of the best teams in the league, and you know what, there's no better time to steal one and get feeling good about yourself than to go against the hardest working team in the league, one of the hardest working teams in the league, and put a game together.
We got to be triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
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 Yeah.
Hard.
And
we got to be hard. We're hard most nights. Yeah. Hard, hard.
Yeah. How about better? Yeah. How about smarter and not harder? I don't know if too many. It was a dispiriting effort by the team. And I don't even want to use the word effort. They looked like a dispirited bunch last night.
Well, they came out with nothing. I mean, this is the whole tone, and I didn't expect them to come out and run Vancouver out of the rink, Jerry.
No, but my point is...
But they weren't coming out and being,
No, but my point is that I don't know that too many people are questioning how, quote, hard that they're playing. Like, it's like he's just trying to squeeze this orange for every last drop of hard, whatever hard is. There's no more hard. There's no more hard to be squeezed from this bunch. Yeah. It's got to be smarter and better and not harder. Yeah. Like this whole, we're going to play harder. Like, there is no more hard.
No.
there's probably a commercial here for an entirely different kind of business. No. There's no more hard in this group, okay?
There's no magic pill for that.
No, there isn't. Oh,
but here in this,
and that's why I say he's out of answers, man.
Well, it's
out
not,
of answers.
Well, I wouldn't even say just out of answers. This has been one of my questions from day one. Great, enthusiastic guy. When you have a young hockey team with no expectations, JR, they all play hard. They all try hard. Now play smarter. This terminology, and this is really old school hockey of when things are going real bad, and I played junior hockey in the 80s, pro hockey early 90s, was I don't care what we're doing. I just want you to go out and play harder. Go out and play harder. When you watch Carolina tonight, and I know there's a deficiency in talent. I'm not going to pretend for a second, but this is also the difference of, I won't even compare DJ Smith as a player, but Rod Brind'Amour as a hockey player played hard, but he played properly. He played with an actual purpose. He wasn't running all over the place trying to hit a guy 30 feet out of the play to make it look like they were playing hard. This activity versus achievement is another term I use all the time, and also say from a lineup standpoint, and it's not a real big deal. And maybe he's banged up, and I guess I'm not going to get carried away here. How would you ever watch this Gambrell or Gaudette? How would you ever sit Tyler Ennis out of a hockey game? Like, could you explain? And again, I know they're little things, but like those guys.
Right, I'll just say, okay. Right shot centers for faceoffs.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm not pretending that Tyler, but I'm like, I mean, jeepers, these guys couldn't be more minor pro hockey players. And hey, at least a guy with a little bit of speed. But back to your whole thing, and this is the issue with DJ Smith. Okay, now rubber meets the road. It's no longer about the manager has said DJ's awesome. DJ has the best training camp. DJ Smith has said between him and the other two, they've all been head coaches in the NHL. They know more than other people outside their room. I want to start seeing some proof of what a good coach he's supposed to be. I'm not doubting his work ethic. I'm not doubting his enthusiasm. This whole term, well, we were going to go out and play hard tonight. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to get absolutely roasted if you're going to maximize your energy in doing nothing and running around and playing without any purpose tonight. Carolina is going to absolutely eat you alive.
All right, let's get to some of your reaction that's coming in via text. And again, phone lines are open for you at 750-1200, star 1200, free call on Bell. You want to call us. Mornings like this morning are made for those if you want to. We'll keep the phone lines open throughout the show as well. Hey, guys, the Sens are in big trouble. Dorian has to step up right now and fire DJ Smith. He's the problem. Terrible coach who constantly makes terrible decisions. Dorian needs to bring in a more experienced coach like Babcock, or this is doomed for many more years. Thanks, that's from formerly all caps Tony from Unsigned. Games mean absolutely nothing now. No hope for this season. If Dorian isn't interviewing new coaching candidates after this game and doesn't address the fans about this season, he needs to go too. Smith has to go now. Nobody on that team is buying into his system, veterans, and the core. Doesn't matter who Dorian brings in. Nothing is changing. From Dave, JR, I'm starting to worry about the regression of some of our younger players. Josh Norris is in particular, who seems to have developed into someone who waits for one-timers in the power play, and that's it. He's brutal in his own end and is outmatched just about every night. I realize it's unfair to ask him to be a number one center, but he's got to be more responsible. That comes from Dave. Hey, guys, as you know, it's obvious that every team that plays knows how it only takes lots of movement and cycling to totally confuse the Sens and create chaos. I remember Pierre Maguire saying often that it could easily be fixed with a few specific practices. Maybe he should share those with DJ. From Unsigned, guys, don't forget, the rebuild is over. Maybe the team should put Pierre Dorion on waivers or show him the door. And, excuse me, a couple more. Hey, guys, I heard the coach's post-game interview and have to wonder what the heck he's watching when he says this team is working hard. They finished the night with 21 shots on net. If this coach views that as working hard, the problems run deeper than we think. Cheers, that comes from the Buddha. That's some of the reaction coming in this morning.
Yeah, and that is also, say, for DJ Smith. There's no doubt, JR, and you're trying to rebuild a culture. Very enthusiastic. And you did pride yourself a couple of years, JR, with younger players that we come out and we're hard to play against. When you also hear the terminology he used there, first of all, with very little enthusiasm, when you use the term, we work hard most nights, that right there,
yeah,
right?
That's not good.
And as far as where this would point to, I mean, I don't have to just get on the radio for 4 hours and say it. I mean, I could make a very, very compelling argument that management, coaches, and everybody involved share equally in the complete gong show this has turned into right now. And I'm not right. You know, would a Jacques Martin help? Oh, absolutely. I keep going back to 95, 96, where the roster was in, and all of a sudden, Pierre Gauthier comes in and adds some stability along with Jacques Martin. Do I feel like the Ottawa Senators organizationally are at the same spot they were in 95, 96, 25 years later? Absolutely, I do. I saw both of them firsthand, and there are a lot of parallels right there, but that's up to the owner. But as far as this one thing solving, hey, there is a lot that you could talk about and look at. Now, I can also look at positive, and that's the part when you go back to the mid-90s, JR. You started to, at that point, have Alfie, have Yashin. You know, you're getting younger players like Dimitra, Straka, Bonk onto your roster. You know, that's a lot of what Ottawa has right now. There's no doubt. You have some nice pieces, and they organize that. They brought in more and turned into one hell of a hockey team, and that's the exact juncture they're in 25 years later.
A few more texts. I'm starting to doubt in Dorian and Smith. Options are simple. Big trade or fire the coach and GM. That's from Unsigned. From Rick, can we start booing the team now? Maybe that will get management to show up and take some ownership. That comes from Rick. I must say I was surprised. I was not at the game last night, so Hammer, you can fill me in being at the game. I was surprised at what seemed to be a very quiet building. Like, is this game, for those that didn't watch, is one of those, for me, telltale games where, again, the spirit of the team, of the players on the team, appears to be now broken. Again, the coach doesn't seem to have any answers. We don't hear from the general manager at all, and we've never heard from the owner in years. So this is kind of a fork in the road, as it were. And I was surprised as this game played itself out last night that the fans that were there, and it was not a huge crowd, but there were some, aren't booing. And when you boo, it's not just the players on the ice, believe me. And I don't know if Eugene Melnyk is in town in the owner's box these days or not. When you boo as a paying customer, anything. It's not just the players on the ice you're booing. You're booing the players. You're booing the coaching staff. You're booing the manager who's sitting up in the box. And if the owner's there, he's hearing it too. And if he's not there, he's watching it on TV and hearing it. Like, you are making your voice heard. And you are telling them that this is not acceptable. And maybe we're just way too polite here in Ottawa. But I was surprised. I can't think that the spirit of the fan base is already broken. But maybe it is. But that was a quiet through my television, and I listened a little bit on the radio as well. That was as quiet a building as I've heard for a one-sided, pathetic game that was last night.
I tried to boost the sound effects as much as I could.
That's a classic Eagles fan right there. I want some quality booing.
Well, yeah,
If Santa Claus is showing up, beer bottles at him. It is a few things, Jared. First of all, it's the Wednesday nighter. It is early December. I don't think in Ottawa it's the same mentality. Now, how it'll be answered and booing, I agree with you. That happens. But it is in attendance. It is in the paying customer, how that reacts. But as far as a reaction in a city, and yeah, mentality can be a little different. I'm not saying they're exact, but look at the light rail system. I mean, there is nowhere in the world that would happen, that far greater consequences would not have come now, and we just kind of ride along with the flow. And I'm as guilty as anybody.
Well,
so
we don't actually ride. Well, we do now. We don't pay for it. We all pay for it.
That's the great line. I get a free ride on a bus that's not going to show up.
Under the taxes that I'm actually paying for it. But anyway, Emma.
There was a smattering of boos after the JT Miller goal. Yeah. Now, was it loud? Was it anything that we've heard elsewhere? No.
But that was also the
main reason was, well, a lot of Sens fans had already left.
Yeah, but that was time. Also, you got to remember, Mete was with Zub. So I think
they're all cheering on Zub.
They were saying Zub.
I must have done a good job.
Please do not take my little mini rant there. I will never advocate for, because I saw some things on my timeline last night, for fans throwing sweaters, jerseys on the ice. I think that I would never, ever, ever advocate or want to see that. As disgusted as you may be by your team, I don't think that you should ever take it to that.
No,
I say that in all seriousness.
Plus, you spent a couple hundred bills. I'm really even wondering if I would throw a hat on the ice. If I've spent 40 bone on my hat,
you have no concerns about that. Well, no, yeah. Batherson had a hat trick.
Yeah,
in the game,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Anything positive from last night?
Anything? Is it players? Our last 7:30 game of the year?
So tonight's okay. There's a positive
is that
for
a
tonight.
Positive?
The game starts at 7.
Yep.
So you know you got an extra half hour of whatever time to stew on whatever the result is tonight.
I didn't see anything, Jared. The thing that I take out of now, and this is really important from a management standpoint, and now that McGuire is involved, is honestly sitting down. You mean you can deny it? You can be quiet. But you also, at this point, you are going to have to. And Murray was one of the decisions you make that was a very bold one. But you're going to have to look at this. And as I said, my timeline would be between now and the new year. How do you figure out a way to stabilize this? And, you know,
it's another 15 games of this
till the new year.
Yeah. That's what you're saying? Like, you're going to give it till the new year of what we saw, what we saw last night?
When they're lacking in talent, and I also say lacking in energy, JR, based on sincerely COVID and going west. Yeah, I think there's going to be time to regroup. I don't think there's energy in this group, and I don't even think it just equates to them quitting. I just think the group is so out of gas right now that, yeah, I'm giving it till the new year to really say, okay, kind of where you're at. And that's the job of management to come up with some solutions.
Okay, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. I know we asked this question maybe as recently as last week, but it seems apt this morning of all mornings as the Sens have lost their sixth game in a row. What's next for the Sens? So this is now we're asking for your prediction of what you think is going to happen next. Change in management, change in coach, major trade, or stay the course. Those are your four options. Change in management, change in coach, major trade, stay the course. What's next for the Sens? Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. Right now, changing out the managers at 53%. 22% say change the coach. 9% say major trade. 15% stay the course and see it through. Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. The thoughts of Mike Johnson, TSN Hockey Insider, are coming up after 8 o'clock. Continue to share your thoughts on the phones at 750-1200 via the Twitter machine at TSN1200, via text at 12-1200. When you do text us, remember that standard messaging rates apply. Sens lose 6-2 to Vancouver. It's off to Carolina tonight for a 7 o'clock faceoff here on TSN 1200. All right, welcome back, 744. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Mike Johnson will join us after 8. James Boyd, not only the GM of the 67s, but also the general manager of Canada's World Junior team, announced the selection camp invitees yesterday. We'll talk about that with him coming up after 9 o'clock. Should mention that the Capital City Challenge wrapped up last night at TD Place. This is the top 17-year-olds from across Canada. There is no U17 Worlds, which typically is over the Christmas holidays as well this year, canceled because of COVID. So Hockey Canada put together three teams like they typically do, and then kept Canada's women's Olympic team in town as well for a kind of a four-team tournament. And last night, Team Black scored in the last second to tie it and in overtime to beat Team Red in the final by a score of 4-3. And then Team White beat the women's Olympic team 5-1. So that was a pretty good event, and good on Hockey Canada for, in some way, allowing these kids to get out and, achieve some of their goals this year for their hockey before they head back to their junior teams. Utica beat Belleville 2-0 last night down in Utica. Matt Murray, as we told you late in the show yesterday, did not end up playing the game last night. Matt Sogard did. But Matt Murray, I guess the plan is, will play in their next game coming up on Saturday at home versus Manitoba. Jack Miller said yesterday, and kind of responding to a couple of tweets I put out, that there's a Troy Mann, the coach in Belleville, has put in a 3-week plan for Matt Murray to kind of get him up and running, which was news to me, because the way that Troy Mann and Matt Murray had talked on Tuesday didn't sound like anybody was quite sure about how this was all, you know, timelines and when he was going to play and all that other stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a plan. And it's going to be 3 weeks long, and he's not going to play tonight. He's going to play Saturday. So This was all cobbled together in some way late in the day on Tuesday. Didn't play last night, but will play on Saturday.
And makes a lot of sense here. I mean, that is. But this is, again, last time I'll say it, it's Thursday. Hearing reaction from people yesterday about, well, there's nothing wrong with him playing on Saturday. If you really understand, okay, if that was the case, then you come back after a road trip, you work with a guy in practice a couple of days, or you just say, hey, here's the plan of what we're doing. You don't wave him in the middle of a trip. And my expectations are they're trying to get this guy to show he cares, that he has some ambition to grab the net. And I would have said, as a management person, I would have been excited if he ended up doing that. Now, so as far as a 3-week plan, pretty simple and clear. He is going to go down there, and then he's going to return for Christmas, and then he'll be back with the Ottawa Senators. I think that's pretty simple to identify.
All right, more of your thoughts are coming in again on text at 12-1200, on Twitter at TSN1200. So much has come in this morning. I can't even find the original tweet, so I apologize for that. But somebody wrote, let the season roll on, get another high draft pick, spend on a couple of quality UFAs and start over. This season is done. That comes from someone, and thank you very much for that someone. Yeah. I will say to that, 62 games to go this season. That is a long time. That's a 3/4 of a season are left to kind of say, and I'm not disagreeing with that the season is done as far as competing for a playoff spot. There's no disputing that, but kind of to wash your hands of this season with 62 games to go, You got a lot of tickets to try to sell the games, man. You got, you know, the one thing they do not want to do is harm the business any further than it's been harmed already through COVID and through, you know, the amount that attendance has dropped over the past few years. So
yeah, they were already at that spot.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. They've got to walk
here. And then the other part, JR, you're trying to do, and again, I'll go back to 95, 96, go back to teams that have been in the swirl. The worry that you have then is, first of all, what makes you think you're going to be that much better a year from now? And also, just from a culture standpoint, now you're starting to suck the life and energy and players like Thomas Chabot, and I know Lloydie and CJ brought it up. You know, you've got guys now that have never played a single meaningful game in the National Hockey League. That doesn't mean they won't be good players, but you do start to get to worried about the overall culture and not making further progress. And quite simply, individually, has a Norris. And Norris, when Hammer brought up off the air, certainly what went on with his high school, not looking at last night, but just individually, this is where you also, as an organization, now the assessment is no longer about teams. And this is the way I watched the team for a number of years. But you start to go through and say, okay, what is the best plan for Timmy Stutzel going forward? Is it playing center ice? Is it playing wing? Is it going to the American Hockey League? Is it going to the World Junior? Formanton? Like, you start to make a checklist here now and get right back to where you were a couple of years ago of, hey, this isn't just about finishing out the season. This is about making sure these young men continue to develop.
All right, to the text machine, stay the course. What's wrong is right. That comes from Jesse in Embrun. That, of course, reference to Shane Wright, who will be, in all likelihood, the number one pick in the draft. And right now, and no, for all those that are asking, when are you guys starting the draft lottery simulator? Amen. We're keeping it the same. It's after the trade deadline, so you're going to have to. That's the official, do not accept any imitation, TSN 1200 draft lottery simulator. You're going to see other people spinning it, and that's fine. That's all well and good. You can do that to your heart's content. But the official one is right here on the morning show, and that will not begin until, when is the trade deadline? That's landed on like March. We're talking about months from now. Yeah. Don writes, Don in Kanata, I'm still a fan. That's all he said.
Yeah.
Don in Kanata. I think from unsigned, I think Pierre Dorion and DJ would both clear waivers. That's from unsigned. From Riley, I'd be okay with Dorion and DJ being fired if I believed ownership wouldn't just replace him with other cheap no-name brand staff. That comes from Riley. From Sliberto Roberto, I hope they get pumped 12. Wow. I hope they get pumped 12 to nothing tonight. The Ottawa Senators are currently an embarrassment for the city and the fan base. Only cratering further seems likely to bring the necessary change. Heck, lose 12 in a row if that's what it takes. Fire Dorion, fire the entire coaching staff, fire all the scouts, pro scouts. No one should be safe. And don't get me started on the business side of things. That's from Sliberto Roberto. Yeah, I'm not sure that's the wisest course of action, nor do I think that's something that would happen.
Yeah.
But and again, that goes back to our tool and equipment store web poll question. Both DJ Smith and Pierre Dorion received multi-year extensions in the summer based on how last year went. And I think most of us, including myself, thought that that would put them, you know, that at least this year, if not into next year or beyond, would put them in a fairly safe place. 4 wins in 20 games, I don't think anybody from players to staff to management to anybody should be comfortable.
This is as bad as it can get. Yeah, and I have no clue on a salary standpoint, Jer, but it wouldn't be much over the minimum wage for an NHL hockey player, putting that or having that on the books. And also, you've got to know, well, whatever, but I totally agree with you. And also, introduced into the fold is Pierre McGuire, and I do think that's a completely different dynamic. It felt like, to start the year, that he certainly had the ear of the owner, and what are his thoughts on what's going on. And as I said, this is a little different than other years, and in the rebuild, like I said, you look past a lot of things. Didn't expect them to win the cup this year. But as it swirls into the negativity and you look at a series of events here, including have a $6 million goaltender playing in the American Hockey League, I'd be very nervous if I was anybody that was employed with the Sens right now.
I was in the building last night, writes unsigned. I've never seen a more disinterested crowd in 25 years of going to games in Ottawa. Just idle conversation. Some booing would have been nice. From Curtis in Kempville, watching this team lately, I'm noticing a lot of similarities between us and the way the Leafs were playing right before they fired Mike Babcock. That comes from Curtis. From Nick, I took some friends to their first game in 10 years last night. We walked away seeing how dead the atmosphere was. That comes from Nick.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, that's so where that's next time or either last night you'd have to force them to stay. And I'm going to say this as well, Jer. I give people credit that went last night on a Wednesday night against the Vancouver Canucks. Saturday, hey, Colorado, I'm excited to watch the game. But, you know, the fact
it's still fun to go. I'll always say it's still fun to go to the games.
Oh, it is for sure.
And when the atmosphere
sure.
is great, I mean, nothing
oh, yeah.
beats it.
No.
But the atmosphere,
no.
like everything, and I'm not blaming the fans.
No.
I'm just
no,
everything
no,
on, you know, you get your atmosphere from what goes on in the ice.
No, for sure. But
I
I'm fortunate to work the Saturday games. That's all. Like, in no matter how. Over the 10 years, what it's like, there's always just a different feeling in the building, you know. And for a lot of kids, that's a part. Hey, there's a lot of people that come to the games. They're not as,
invested.
Well, they're not looking at the standings every morning, you know. And that
they're there for a night out for entertainment to bring their kid, and their kids are super excited. And, you know, I often have to remind myself, because I can be very negative at times, as I am this morning, that, you know, sometimes you have to see it through the eyes of not a kind of a cynical media person, which you can become, but through the eyes of a fan, and then remind myself from there, not only the eyes of a fan, but the eyes of a young fan, a child. Yeah. Like I've got a teenage daughter. Well, actually, she's 20 now, who's a huge fan of the team.
Yeah.
Goes to the game. She's got a job now. She spends her money on sweaters and tickets to games and whatever. Like, I try to see it through her eyes, not through my eyes sometimes. I have to remind myself of that from time to time, that it's still great to have a team in town and all that other stuff. I remind myself of that, and then I quickly go back to the other side and go, come on, you guys, be better.
No, and I agree with that. And also going through, as I said, there are times where you look at a franchise and say, my God, there's no drafting. There is nothing. There's nothing to. And you do go through and say, hey, there are a number of players you're excited to. The part that's becoming increasingly questionable and has been questionable from day one are the proper people in place at management and coaching to lead you to the next level. That's the part I look at. I don't look at necessarily the players and even what's in Belleville and what's in the system. Things will get better if you just kind of continue along. But, you know, those are the things I think have to be being asked, because there's just too much of a pattern here right now that makes you really question whether or not they can take you next level.
If they decide to make a change at coach, and I'm not, it's not that I'm hearing anything. I'm just saying that I think everything is on the table. Do you think it's more likely that if they stay in-house, that it's Jack Capuano, guy who's got some NHL head coaching experience with the Islanders, or would they look at what Troy Mann has done down in Belleville and say, let's give him a shot as maybe a guy who's never had an opportunity, who's doing great work down in Belleville, and see if he can do it. And, you know, maybe it's a shorter-term contract, but see if he can do it at the NHL level.
Yeah, I'd end up giving Mann an opportunity, but there's no doubt Jack Capuano, some great experience with the Islanders, a couple of 100-point teams. I'd really want to know what Jack Capuano is thinking after being denied the opportunity to visit with Buffalo and how that kind of played out and went down. I would go with Mann. Do I think they lean towards Capuano? I'm not sure. I'll also say this. I don't feel like anything's imminent. I would assume if something's going to happen, it's going to happen to the manager, not the coach. That's my feeling. I don't think that card will be allowed to play again, especially with Pierre Maguire in the fold.
Right. Yeah, it was. I think, a little bit telling, right, when I think the last time we heard from the owner was it on the McCowan podcast? Was that the last time?
Yeah.
And he talked about, after the season, sitting down and talking to DJ Smith about the players that he wanted to bring in. That was, in a roundabout way, kind of telling.
Yeah, very much.
All right, 7:56. Tell you what, let's see if we can put a little bit of positivity into things by giving somebody $1,000. Eh? That'd be okay. All right, we'll play our $1,000 minute right now with lucky texter number 50 at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. All we need is your first and last name. We're hoping to give away a G to somebody. 10 questions, 60 seconds, 10 for 10. We'll win you $1,000. We'll come back. We'll do that. Then our top of the hour update, and then the thoughts of Mike Johnson on the state of the Sens, who fell again last night 6-2 to Vancouver. They're in Carolina tonight for a 7 o'clock face-off, a 5 o'clock pregame show here on TSN 1200. You doing, Dave? Is Dave there? Okay. It's not good. We can't play the contest if our listener isn't there. We got all the buttons pushed correctly.
I'll step in.
Yeah. Are you going to play for Dave?
Yeah, let me do that. Let me get it a go.
Okay, we're trying to press all the
buttons.
Is that
legal?
Hang on. Did I do something incorrectly? Maybe I've done it. Dave?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, sorry, man. That's all on me. That's too much coffee and not enough sleep for your old friend JR. Sorry about that, Dave. That's on me. Okay, you know about the contest?
I do.
Let's do it. 10 questions, 60 seconds, 10 for 10 wins you the $1,000, $10 per correct answer. Here are the rules. All of your answers, need them by the 60-second buzzer. Need to accept your first full answer
And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Dave. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Did Carolina beat Calgary or Edmonton for their only Stanley Cup win?
Yes.
No. Which one? Calgary or Edmonton?
Edmonton.
True or false, at the 20-game mark, the Sens have fewer points this year than last year?
Correct, yes.
Who has won the Super Bowl more recently, the Cowboys or the Saints?
Saints.
In 1975, Archie Griffin became the first and only player ever to win two consecutive what trophies? There were four other players involved when Patrick Waugh was traded from Montreal to Colorado. Name one of them. What team did the Jays trade Marcus Stroman to?
The Mets.
Did Canada win gold or silver at last year's World Junior Hockey Championship?
Silver.
Bruins goalie Jerry Cheevers was famous for having what painted on his mask?
Scars.
What Canadian team entered the NHL with Buffalo in 1970?
Vancouver.
Name an NHL team that Rod Brind'Amour played for.
Philadelphia.
In 1975, Archie Griffin became the first and only player to ever win two consecutive. What'd you say?
Heisman.
Okay. All right. We've got our answers. And let's go through. I don't know that we got 10 answers, so I don't think we got 1,000. But Carolina beat Edmonton in the final for their cup win. You got that right. At the 20-game mark, the Sens do have fewer points this year. That's true. Saints have won the Super Bowl more recently than the Cowboys. You got that right. Archie Griffin, you're right. The Heisman Trophy. He won two in a row. Only guy ever to do that. The other four players involved in the Patrick Waugh trade. Mike Keane, Andrei Kovalenko, Jocelyn Thibault, and Martin Rutschinski are the names you wanted there. Marcus Stroman got traded to the Mets. You got that right. Canada won silver last year at the World Juniors. Jerry, what was your answer to on his mask?
Stars.
No, it was stitches. Stitches. He had painted on his mask.
Not the same as scars?
Oh, you said, sorry, I thought you said stars.
No, scars.
Scars.
Well, I think that's good.
Okay.
Eh?
Simmer? Simmer says yes. Okay, there we go. What Canadian team entered the league with Buffalo? Vancouver is correct. Rod Brind'Amour played with Philly, also St. Louis and Carolina. You got that right. So I think when it's all said and done,
$90.
Wow.
How's that sound?
How did I miss the Colorado one?
yeah, well, yeah, that's not that. Is it that once I told you, did you go, yeah, I got that or not?
I was waiting for you to come back, and I was thinking Tebow all the time. Yeah.
Darn it, so close. Oh, well. Yeah. Anyway, $90, and our thanks for playing the game, Dave. Have a great day.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, take care. There he goes, another satisfied customer. Did you have any of those four names, Simmer?
Well, I knew all of them. Yes. It's kind of a bit of a funny thing in the four names involved. Keane, of course, came with Waugh, and you always remember Jocelyn Thibault is going to be the next Patrick Waugh, along with Andre the Tank Kovalenko and Martin Rutschinski.
If you remember, and again, we're talking about rock bottom with the Sens, it was on this day in 1995 was the day, this is the anniversary of the day that they left Patrick Waugh and Mario Tremblay did. Yeah. In an 11-1 loss to Detroit, and of course the infamous point where he finally gets pulled after 9 goals, goes as he's walking along the bench, walks past
Ronald Corey,
and then walks back. And I don't think you need to read lips to it's I must have said, I'm never playing for this team again, or you got to fire one or the other.
Yeah,
anyway, and he was traded 3 days later.
Yeah, and also the dynamic of that. First of all, Pierre Lacroix was able to strong arm Reggie Uhl, right? Reggie was the general manager at the time. And that would never, and we repeat never, JR, have happened had Quebec not moved to Colorado, right?
Great point.
And what they were trying to do as a franchise and some of the moves there, that was the pretty much the final piece, obviously, to win a Stanley Cup that same year.
There you go. 26 years ago already. All right, a little past 8 o'clock. Latest news and sports is on the way. And then more on the state of the Sens as they lose again. Mike Johnson joins us with his thoughts coming up next on TSN 1200.